There are reports the cable guys have captured Shrek and Kung Fu Panda. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Comcast, which is also Universal and NBC, will report first quarter profits today. There are also published reports today that Comcast is in talks to buy the movie studio DreamWorks Animation. The Wall Street Journal and the New York Times say the deal could be worth more than $3 billion. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live with some context.
Well, David, Comcast owns Universal Pictures. It's produced some hits like Despicable Me. But Comcast would like to be a bigger player in the family entertainment space and compete more with Disney. And not just because people watch these movies, they buy products based on them. My kids sleep on sheets covered in Despicable Me minions, in fact. And, of course, there are the movie-based theme parks.
And how might DreamWorks fit in here?
Well, DreamWorks Animation makes the Shrek, Kung Fu Panda, and Madagascar movies, so they would add to Comcast's inventory. What's in it for DreamWorks Animation? Well, it's been struggling and could use a wealthy parent company. It's had a number of box office flops in the past few years. Last year, it had to lay off hundreds of workers, and its production costs are higher than some of its competitors. They use foreign animators who are cheaper.
Now, we should emphasize this is not a done deal here.
Oh, right. Absolutely. So far, we're just seeing reports. There could be a deal. There's been no official word from either company yet. And other takeover offers for DreamWorks Animation have fallen through. So that could happen here, too.
All right, Nancy. Thank you. The New England Journal of Medicine, America's storied medical journal, is facing questions from critics who say some of its practices make the journal less credible. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
This is a fight over how to deliver the most reliable medical information. Critics accuse the New England Journal of adopting a "journal knows best" attitude. Ivan Oransky is co-founder of Retraction Watch, which monitors scientific research.
When I read a study, I want to know, at the very least, the data are available for someone who's qualified to be able to check it.
Some want the journal to be more like the BMJ, formerly the British Medical Journal. Starting last year, BMJ made authors share relevant data for clinical trials. The New England Journal's editor-in-chief, Dr. Jeffrey Drazen, says he's working to improve data sharing and believes the journal meets demands for speed, access, and transparency.
We're continuously trying to find new ways to communicate information that gets the essence of what is important across without the risk of any kind of misinterpretation.
When we talk about medical research, we're talking about information used by doctors, lawmakers, and patients. And that's why this debate matters. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
What are we to make of the bankruptcy filing last week of the world's biggest renewable energy company? Sun Edison does solar panels and more, but investors lost faith in the company's debt-fueled buying spree. Frequent Marketplace contributor Eric Gordon at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business has been following this. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, David.
So this Sun Edison is a company that grew incredibly fast. I guess you could say it flew too close to the sun.
Oh, that's true. Their growth was nearly maniacal. And when you grow maniacally, it brings on lots of problems. They got fancy with their finances, and they made some acquisitions that didn't make sense. They're a solar company. They bought wind businesses, energy storage businesses. And when you buy businesses quickly that are outside your sweet spot, your quality and reliability can deteriorate. And then stacked on that, the finance problems. You can't finance rapid growth out of your day-to-day operating cash flow. It relied much too heavily on debt. And as we've seen before, if you use too much debt, get over-leveraged, all you have to do is hit a little pothole and you end up in the ditch.
What do you think the example of Sun Edison says about the rest of the solar power industry? Does it indict the rest of the industry?
You know, solar power is actually a good industry. It's a viable business. There are other companies that are doing well. First Solar, it made a profit of over $500 million last year. Another company called SunPower is profitable, has $1 billion. The technology has gotten very good, continue to improve such that solar is going to be attractive even if oil and natural gas prices stay low.
I mean, that's the key, right? It's a great business to be in when the competing energy source is expensive. That isn't the world we live in right now.
Solar is a technology that is amenable to lots of improvements, and there have been lots of improvements. It's much more efficient. It's a very reliable technology. It has no moving parts. It tends to last probably 20 to 30 years. In the near future, the cost of solar is going to be on a par with oil and gas, unless oil and gas halves in price yet again.
Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you for this.
My pleasure.
And when we started the week, the richest person in Asia was Wang Junlin of the Wanda Group, the Chinese real estate and theater chain conglomerate. But now the richest person in Asia is Alibaba's Jack Ma. This after Ma raised a bunch of money to expand Ant, his financial services company. Ma is now worth about $33.3 billion. Continuing this tycoon update, the New York co-op apartment of the former head of Solomon Brothers, John Goodfriend, is looking for a new tenant, $120 million. The Fifth Avenue apartment is colorful. I just tweeted the link with a picture. The future tenant needs cash on the barrelhead. The Wall Street Journal says the co-op board doesn't allow financing and requires, quote, very strong financial credentials. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.